into the Danny Lake key and turn it up to the ceiling. Everything could go so wrong, but you'll be so happy. It's Danny Lakey, yeah. It's Danny
right across Lakey. Australia, this is the Danny Lakey, Lakey Show.
It's Danny Lakey.
Well, people who are raised on rude movies as children will often show their children rude movies. Not necessarily full frontal nudity, but strong adult themes, coarse language, horror. I was not one of those children, so I lived vicariously through others who were doing just that. The Miracle Multi crew reconvened, retweaked for round two. We spoke to a new addition on the show, slash now, in the podcast. There is a man who is biting ears on a plane. I cannot stress enough. Just don't bite a man's ears 30,000 feet in the air. Even if you're 6 foot in the air, don't bite a man's ears. But let's kick it off. It was 24 hours ago where we paid our greatest respects to Colonel Sanders. Oh, my goodness. His candle burned out long before his legend ever did. And the chicken lives on, deep fried gold. And boy, didn't we get around it when we paid our respects to the deep fried chicken.
The power of the colonel compels you.
It was compelling listening last night. And whilst all this was going on, whilst we were paying our respects to deep fried KFC chicken, the pieces, the parts, the breasts, the legs, the buttocks, all of it, and plenty some more, we failed to realise one thing. And it was brought up at one point, and we quickly glossed over it because it was KFC blasphemy at the time. But I couldn't help but think last night after the show that this little bit that happened last night was quite an important part.
You've dead set got to try the Red Rooster crispy, crunchy fried chicken.
Now, I didn't realise that Red Rooster had crispy, crunchy fried chicken. I always thought the Red Rooster game was more of a rotisserie sort of game, a roast chicken at its finest, and great roast chickens Red Roosters do. Has it come to a point where society has shunned the barbecue chicken so much that we're now just a nation of deep fryers? Surely, surely not. We received plenty of messages on the Danny Lakey socials, even one from my dearest friend, Finbar Ten Cusset, saying, hey, bring more light to the rotisserie style of chicken. There are plenty of people who believe deeply in the faith of the Colonel. However, it is very offensive to those who follow and worship more of a different style of poultry product. And so right, Finbar, and so right, everyone. And tonight on 133353.
Hallelujah to the church of rotisserie chicken.
We will be celebrating the barbecue chicken, the hot chook, the rotisserie style chicken. Your chance on 133353 to show your respects, pledge your faith to the barbecue chook. And look, I've done my part. I have bought myself the Bachelor's handbag, fresh from Coles, in all of its glory, just sitting marinating nicely. Allow me to drink the holy juice that's quickly congealing to holy jelly. Mmm, soupy. 133353, what's the best part of the barbecue chicken? How do you divvy up the chook in your household? Are you a leg man who's strictly only married a woman because she likes the breast and you don't fight over parts of the chicken? Are your kids brought up on the wings? Are you a stuffing guy? Let's discuss stuffing on 133353. Any hacks for maximum meat? What should I attack first? I am a wing guy. I've heard rumours that there's a parson's nose on this bad boy somewhere. Let me unwrap this thing and put it on a plate. Give it the respect it deserves. Who has tied this chicken's legs together? I'm very passionate about a rotisserie chicken. I would say I'm more passionate about eating chicken than a vegan who works at PETA is about saving chickens. 133353, Luke in New South Wales. Chickens, you're obviously a fan of the rotisserie style, and welcome to the church, my friend.
Oh, yeah. Hallelujah to the church of rotisserie chicken.
Hallelujah. You've got some interesting information about the Colonel and his beliefs with the rotisserie style of chook.
Yeah, KFC actually years ago actually did a barbecue chicken.
The power of the Colonel compels you!
Now, I don't expect you to be besties with the Colonel, but do we know what the Colonel was thinking? I mean, if it ain't broke, don't fix it comes to mind. Why would a Colonel think to introduce a completely different breed, a completely different genre?
Big Rooster was around, and they did They did that, and also they had to combat McDonald's had the Southern Fried Chicken as well.
Yeah, and for too long, too many fast food franchises have been going into different chicken lanes without indicating with their indicator lights. And I think just stay in your lot. I think Red Rooster should stick to the red leathery rotisserie roosters, and the Colonel should stick to his deep fried gold. But it's an interesting piece of gossip early in the piece. Tim in Wontagi, hello.
Yeah, g'day, Danny.
You love a barbecue chicken as much as the next man.
Well, it's not really me who's a barbecue chicken one. I don't really have preference between fried or barbecued, but it's my parents
who
love rotisserie charcoal chicken.
Whoa, okay. Hallelujah to the church of rotisserie chicken. Now, what are the charcoals adding to the mix that a rotisserie-style hot iron rod marinating in a Coles deli cannot?
Well, you pretty much just summed it up there. It just adds a real juiciness and thickness to the chicken.
Oh, yeah, I see. Plumper breasts.
Yeah, one thing that my family always does when they go on summer holidays at their caravan near Wakeland Maggie.
Oh, yeah.
This is going to be extremely weedsrill in nature, by the way. Anyone who's not in Gippsland listening, 90% of this is going to fly over the top of your head. Yeah, on the way through, we stop off at Terralgan Charcoal Chicken, get one or two of their birds, plus some salads, maybe chips. And we usually just, Friday night, we just sit out the deck and have that with a few cold ones. Hallelujah
to the church of rotisserie chicken. And by all means, 133353, what is your niche family regional tradition that you do every Friday? David in Morphett Vale, good evening to you.
Yes.
Let's keep the localisms out of it. Let's keep family traditions and coleslaw addictions out of the piece as well. What is your favourite piece of barbecue chicken?
The breast and the bum.
The breast and the bum. Now, I'm aware of the breasts, and don't get me wrong, I will be motorboating these. Well, I think it's only one breast. I probably can't do that. But whereabouts is the bum on the chicken? If I just pull back its legs here for a second, a gaping piece of stuffing has been revealed. Whereabouts is the bum in relation to the stuffing and the thighs?
Just right on the end of the tailbone.
Okay, I'm just going to turn it round slightly here. Now, there is a little crispy bit at the end. I'm not sure if this is bone or bum. Maybe you'll be able to tell by the acoustics of the bite. Hang on 2 seconds.
It's always mine at home.
Yeah, I think I just ate a chicken's ass. Yep, that's what happened. Peter in Lake Macquarie, good evening.
Good evening, how are you?
Enjoying the fruits of what the chicken has sacrificed. A very tasty piece of bum. Looking to find the oyster pearl at some point tonight. And I'm pretty privy to a parson's nose. Now, what are you into in the barbecue chicken world?
Oh, it's got to be charcoal chook. The smell you get coming down the street for a great charcoal chicken and succulent breasts.
Now, all of a sudden, I'm regretting that I've just got one of the hot rods coming through, because it seems like there's a theme tonight about the charcoal chicken. The charcoal, it's really something that the hot rods can't provide.
Correct.
Nice. All right. I mean, is there anything else to discuss, to be honest? I don't know if does the charcoal chicken come in a plastic bag, much like the Australian RSPCA-approved roast chickens at Coles, the bachelor handbag, the tradies lunchbox. Are you getting one of those?
Just a nice full bag, keep it nice and moist.
Yeah, okay, cool. Well, we've set the precedent for the next show to do the Church of Charcoal Chicken as well, and I'd imagine that chicken variants will just keep coming through. The Danny Lakey Show Catch-Up Podcast. Oh, there's quite a story about a man who's bitten an ear off during a mid-flight.
Oh, honey, I got a doozy.
Flight diverted and man arrested after a report of someone's ear being bitten off.
Is that funny, Pretty Flip?
This definitely isn't funny. There's nothing funny about this. A United Airlines flight headed to Miami from New Jersey made an unexpected stop in South Carolina after a man on board bit another passenger's ear off, according to a report from the Aviation Authority. The flight landed at 10:10 a.m. local time and taxied to the gate, where it was met by police. On the plane, responding officers observed the suspect, identified as John Yerkovich. Oh, he sounds like an ear nibbler, doesn't he? Oh, slippery Johnny Ears Yerkovich, at it again with his teeth, with his hands tied behind his back and zip ties tied with a belt. You have to restrain a hungry Yerkovich. There's no doubt you can't be flying 30,000 feet when Johnny's on the loose, hungry for men's ears. One passenger was seated next to Yerkovich, wrong place, wrong time, if you ask me, and said Yerkovich seemed agitated after a trip to the bathroom. After the trip to the bathroom, Yurkovic, back in his seat, began to scream and thrash around. The passenger said, "Oh no, it's worse than I thought." Yurkovic hit the man with a closed fist, breaking his glasses, according to the police report. Surrounding passengers attempted to restrain Yurkovic, and that's when the man sustained another injury, a laceration to the ear. You don't touch a man's ears, let alone bite the ears. There's three rules I often say. Don't touch a man's wife, don't touch a man's wallet, and don't nibble on a man's ears.
Yeah, I think dogs are better company than women anyway.
That was a bit weird. Look, unfortunately, the bigwigs, the fat cats, the hot shots at Hollywood, the makers of Snakes on a Plane, have seen another opportunity with one man's ear gone begging. One movie becomes created.
It's one of the lowest acts a man can do.
Ow, 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 you body my ear, ow, ow, ow.
He can attack without warning.
Ah, get him off my ear!
And he's just been unleashed.
This is the final boarding call for John Yurkovic. John Yurkovic, please make your way to gate number 6 for boarding.
From the director that brought you Snakes on a Plane and Jaws.
I now only have one ear on my head. What the
Universal Pictures presents Spider on a Plane.
Jeez, talk about a second bite at the cherry.
Critics are labeling it a masterpiece.
This man's bark is nowhere near as bad as his bite. Somebody restrain him.
And guest starring Samuel L. Jackson.
Anybody hear me?
Enough is enough!
Shh. Did you guys hear that?
Yeah. You know, I've heard of a fighter pilot. Let's just hope Yurkovic doesn't get into the cockpit and bite a pilot.
Don't joke about that.
Biter on a Plane. In cinemas soon.
Righto! After a sketchy start in round one...
The seven-leg multi didn't get up.
We've made a couple of tweaks.
Chris, the V8 virtuoso.
G'day, mate.
You're fired.
That's one, and there's another to come. Find out what it is in a sec in round two.
Round two.
The bets are in. What have we got, Lakey?
Miracle Multi Crew have assembled themselves. They've sent me through their cannot lose tips for the weekend. Everyone is on notice. Everyone is working towards one common goal: to win big cash with our eight-leg multi this weekend that I like to call the Incy Wincy Spider. Why so? Eight legs. And you can't spell Wincy without win. Aussie Rules Aaron, he texted through earlier on today. He said, mate, all business tonight. Geelong head-to-head on Friday. No danger field, no worries at $1.63. Aussie Rules Aaron, it's in the multi. Then doesn't miss Chris, the NRL expert, who had a rare miss last week. Usually he doesn't miss, hence the name. He texted me earlier today. He said, hey, Lakey, I've got a good feeling for the Newcastle Knights to win against the West Tigers. Not bad. At $1.31. Doesn't miss Chris is in the multi. Then doesn't miss Chris sent me another message. And we've already been through this earlier on in the week. He has had a bit of a big head. He's been sprouting about, beating his chest. He says, oh yeah. And Heimel Hunt being an anytime try scorer at $1.67. Or double from doesn't miss Chris.
Guess what doesn't miss Chris?
It's in the multi. Better get up though. Otherwise there might be a couple of awkward conversations with the Danny Lakey Miracle Multi Show HR department on Monday. Big Bad Brad, the ball expert, said, g'day, geezer. No Premier League games this weekend, so I'll put my tip on a World Cup qualifier. It's Romania to beat North Macedonia on Friday morning at $1.86. You found some value there, Big Bad Brad. It's in the multi. Down at the track, Dave. Hey, mate. Rose Hill Race 4 now has 9 runners, which means 3 place getters. Number 1, Addy BB to place. Short odds, but should guarantee. Have a great show. Dave. Horse emoji. Smile emoji. And then 2 X's at the end, which is a bit weird. No, I'm just joking, Dave. $1.12. It's in the multi. Simple Simon, the tennis tipster, our tennis expert who hates tennis. That's the trick. Miami Open Women's, he says. Camilla Giorgi to win head-to-head against Ludmila Samsonova. First serves early tomorrow morning at $1.94. Outsider, Simple Simon. Guess what, bro? It's in the multi. Then there's me, the wild card, for leg number 7. If there's one thing that the wild card knows about, it's badminton. Don't know if you know, but the Orleans International is on this weekend. And the men's doubles, it's a hot field. I tip Paul Reynolds and Joshua McGee to smash Julian Karagi and Jonah Van Nieuwkerke at $1.17. Guess what, wild card? Yes, wild card. It's in the multi. Now, I did say it's an incy-wincy spider, an eight-leg multi this weekend. You're probably thinking, that's seven legs. You've talked about the whole crew. Well, yes, but we've got something else up our sleeve. A new addition.
If you want to win big, you've got to bet big. And that means betting on big-time sports. And what are the big-time sports, I hear you ask? Sports with big balls. And what is the biggest ball in the biggest sport, I hear you ask? The basketball.
Goes down and the game is tied.
And what is the biggest basketball league in the world, I hear you ask? The NBA. Introducing the guy whose body clock works around the ESPN NBA scheduling. It's Basketball Bobby.
Welcome to the crew. Basketball Bobby is on the line. Good evening, Basketball Bobby.
Hey, Danny, how you going, mate?
Yeah, pretty good, mate. Keen to win some cash this weekend. We have been speaking off the air throughout the week at a variety of meetings. You have preached that you are Australia's biggest NBA fan. You watch a lot of matches. You place a few punts yourself. And welcome to the crew, my friend. Of course, on an NBA apprenticeship program at the moment. It's common in the biz. It's usually just a three-week grace period. It protects you. It protects us. You know how business is. You are all signed up to hopefully win big this weekend as you top the Incy Wincy Spider eight-leg multi for the weekend. What is your NBA can't-lose bet before I press place on this?
Mate, tomorrow, the Utah Jazz play the Brooklyn Nets, and I don't see any way that the Brooklyn Nets can win that one, so I'm taking the Utah Jazz 1-10.
1-10?
That's a really close one.
Risky margin bet, but you're confident enough?
100%, mate. Can't lose.
Because it's got here $2.76. That's quite juicy for NBA margin.
I like it.
He likes it. Guess what, Basketball Bobby? It's in the multi! Eight big legs. It equates to $43.60. $50 placed on that. We stand to win $2,180. Come the end of the weekend. Good luck, Basketball Bobby.
Yeah, dude, man. Hopefully you get up.
First week in the multi crew, everyone else as well with their can't lose tip. No one can win a multi, but everyone can get one tip right. And that's the genius thing behind this crew. We'll find out if it gets up on Monday. Director confirms rumours of an R-rated Mrs. Doubtfire cut are true. The director of the 1993 Robin Williams hit Mrs. Doubtfire has confirmed a rumour about the film after months of online speculation. Yeah, I've been speculating online whether or not there's an R-rated Mrs. Doubtfire cut in the wings somewhere. The Columbus confirmation. Chris Columbus is even open to making a documentary about the creation of the film, showcasing some of Williams' hilariously funny but not safe for a family movie material that didn't make it into the theatres, the director told Entertainment Weekly. Columbus said, the reality is that there was a deal between Robin and myself, which was he'll do one or two, maybe three scripted takes, and then he would say, then let me play. And we'd basically go on anywhere between 15 to 22 takes. I think 22 being the most I remember, Columbus recalled. It's a thing. Wasn't Robin one of the great improvisers, one of the great sketch comics, one of the great off-the-cuff comedians, just throwing a ball, seeing where it landed. Williams, a skilled improviser with memorably rapid-fire delivery, would come up with new lines for each take. He'd sometimes go into territory that would be too inappropriate for a PG-13 movie, but certainly appropriate and hilariously funny for an R-rated film, Columbus said. It's interesting, isn't it? I think it's probably a bit of an education out there for the youngins, and there'd be some people licking their lips real keen for an R-rated Mrs. Doubtfire with all the bonus takes, with all the director's cut not fit for a PG-13. But I reckon you could show your young one that. I reckon if you're ever going to show a young kid a rude movie, it'd be the R-rated version of Mrs. Doubtfire. Sit down, boy. Time to teach you a few lessons. Let's see. Now, this man, do you know who this man is? Robin Williams. Yeah, it's a man, mate. It's a man. Yeah, well, that's a long story, but it's a man. And just watch how he goes off the cuff here. See that? See that? Yeah, I could do something like that. I think it'd be like a real good like parental bonding session watching an R-rated version of Mrs. Doubtfire. Maybe I'm just keen to have a child just so I can show them rude movies because my parents hid me from the rude movie scene for so long. It was Disney movies until I was 16. On my 16th birthday, they finally allowed me to watch an M15 movie. They were those strict parents that would just cover my eyes over anything. Like they'd be out there watching an M movie on a Friday night, and I'd just come out and like ask them a question because I was playing Nintendo in my room, and they'd pause the movie to make sure that my innocent prying eyes saw nothing but Super Mario and Diddy Kong Racing in my bedroom that night. They were very, very sheltered in terms of letting me watch movies, and all my mates at school would be, oh, did you watch Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me? I'm like, oh, don't even bother. Do not even bother. There's not a thousand horses in hell. It's going to let my parents get something like that out for me. They're very anti-Austin. Remember the first M movie I think I ever got to watch? I was at least 12, and it was Tomorrow Never Dies. And my dad was there with his palm the whole time, just waiting for a stray set of boobs to unleash on the screen, to which he'd cover my eyes straight away. And it was disappointing at the time, being a 12-year-old who just wanted to see a small pair of movie boobs. We've spoken about movie boobs in the past. 133353, what rude movie did you let your kids watch? Because I think it stunted my growth a little bit. I reckon a little Blair Witch Project screening for me when I was 9 years old may have robbed me slightly of my innocence, but it would have made me grow up a bit tougher. I reckon maybe if I got introduced to Demi Moore's striptease at the ripe old age of 10, rather than watching Coyote Ugly with my cousins at the mature age of 17, maybe I would have learned a couple more things. Terminator 2 would have put some hair on my chest a lot quicker. Had my dad just sat me down and explained a supervised Terminator 2 session. I don't think that's too much to ask. And I reckon there are people out there doing it. Anthony, in Madawi, you have allowed your children to watch a rude movie. Rude movie?
A rude movie, that's one word for it. It was called Jeepers Creepers.
Jeepers Creepers. We weren't even allowed to say the words Jeepers Creepers as kids. It was a swear word in my bloody household. I haven't seen that movie. It sounds like a horror film, thriller, horror.
Definitely a horror film. I got called before the primary school because my son was six, drew a headless head bouncing up and down on a car.
Yeah. Great. So is a horror a recurring theme that you think is important in raising your children? Is it strictly horror? Is there action involved as well? Adult themes, violence? Do you draw a line at sexual references and nudity?
Well, I think Jeepers Creepers just about had it all, to be honest.
Nice. It makes them grow up quick, and I don't mind it. It's hard, fast, no nonsense, aggressive parenting, and if a child throws a head around on a car in a school ground from time to time, so be it. That's the price you pay. Belinda, in New South Wales, what's the rudest movie you let your kids watch?
It was Rocky Horror Picture Show.
People love Rocky Horror. Those who love Rocky Horror love Rocky Horror. Like they just do. They love Rocky Horror.
It was up until Frankenfurter had sex with Brad and Janet. And then I turned it off.
Well, then it's time for the kids to go to bed.
My daughter was only about 8 at the time.
Yeah, I see.
So I was like,
As someone who's never watched Rocky Horror, because I'm not a movies man, and if I wasn't allowed to watch it when I was 11, I sure as hell am not watching it when I'm 31. It seems a bit gender bending to me. So there's some life lessons there, some good life lessons, some sexual references. Is it horror?
No, you haven't watched it.
No.
Oh my God. Do it. You haven't lived.
Would rather shit in my hands and clap than waste 2 hours over the weekend watching Rocky Horror. I believe it's a great one. I believe it's a great film. Don't get me wrong, but I've got people to see, places to be, pornography to watch. Man can only stream so much on a Sunday. Ben, on the sunny coast, what's the rudest movie you let your kids watch?
So I found out last week that my wife hasn't seen Ace Ventura. So I put on Ace Ventura Pet Detective, and my kids thought it was just the best. They were laughing the whole time. And for the last week, my two-year-old daughter has been laughing like Ace Ventura. On Friday last week, I was watching the football, and my three-year-old comes up to me and goes, "Hey, Dad, watch this." And I said, "Yeah, mate." He turns around, bends over, and starts talking through his ass like Ace Ventura and asks me what I'm doing.
Nice.
For the last week, he's been talking through his ass like Ace Ventura.
You got to love when young, impressionable minds pick up the great actions of Ace Ventura, the Pet Detective. I mean, it's slapstick at its finest, and no doubt you're raising a couple of young whippersnapper comedians there. 3 and 2. You say 3 and 2.
My 3-year-old is hilarious. Nice. My 2-year-old is just evil. But with her laughing like Ace Ventura, it just really nails down her personality. It's fantastic.
These two are going to be the two coolest kids at the Blue Light Disco. I can see it now in Danny Lakey's crystal ball. Jason, wrap this up on 133353. Rudest movie you let your kids watch?
Okay, she was 11 years old, and we were watching Borat.
Yeah,
so,
right.
subsequently, she thought it was pretty funny, actually, which was disturbing. But
you invited this in. You can't play one of the greatest comedies of all time. You're finding this funny, are you? You think this is some kind of joke?
Subsequently, we always had the great 6 years, and you're not going to get into these.
Yes.
I didn't want to have to do my Borat impression. But my hand has been forced to be played.
Oh, that was all right at the end. Johnny Lai King. Triple M.